Blog Talk Radio. code 3.
I will not enforce any kind of unconstitutional laws. But I will not enforce anything that they say that goes against the Second Amendment, ever. I'll put myself in between them, and I will stand in freedom before I stand with the tyrannical bunch. I will not disarm anyone in my borough or anyone in the country as far as that concerns. They violate the road, and then I tell them they're thugs. They're nothing more than thugs, and then they just take a shot.
And now, join us for the PRN radio show, Breaking All the Rules, Chief Kessler.
Thank you.
morning, Patriots Worldwide. Welcome to the Friday night, May 31st edition of Breaking All the Rules with Chief Kessler. My name's Mohawk, and joined by me in the studio tonight is the State Coordinator for Indiana, INSC, who's we're co-hosting tonight because Chief Kessler is at a conference this weekend. He's going to be joining us live later on from the CSPOA 2013 convention in Missouri. He's going to recap the ongoing convention tonight. Like I said, my name's Mohawk. Joined by me riding shotgun tonight is INSC. INSC, are you there?
We're here. Yeehaw!
Yeehaw! So, just to let you know, INSC, he's state coordinator for the Watchmen of Indiana. My name's Mohawk. I'm the commanding officer of the Watchmen of Pennsylvania. Watchmen of Pennsylvania are working pretty much hand-in-hand with Chief Kessler right now with his constitutional security force. And last week, Chief Kessler came aboard to the PRN, and we had a really great show last week. And then this week, like I said, he's at a conference, so he's going to be calling in. Tonight's show, we're going to have Pastor George Cook, who's from PA. He's really into the Black Robe Brigade, which is a bunch of ministers, chaplains, pastors, preachers, all within the militia movement. He's going to recap the GRAA rally. Then we're going to get a call from Chief Kessler. And then I'm going to bring on in a local patriot. His name's Mark Passio. He's really big in the patriot movement in Philadelphia. In fact, about a week and a half ago, he was handing out some literature at Independence Hall, right where the Declaration of Independence was signed, and the park police cuffed him because he didn't have a permit to hand out literature. It's an obscure federal law that you need permission, you need a permit to hand out any sort of pamphlets there. So, I mean, talk about eroding freedom, you know, INSC?
Oh,
INSC.
Yes, sir, I'm sitting right here.
All right. He's going to come on and tell us what happened with that. So, before we get started, the comments made by guest hosts and our guest hosts or of the PRN Radio Network do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints, ideology, beliefs, etc. of the members of the Watchmen of America program or the Patriot Resistance website, either in past, present, or future broadcasts. So, that's what the beef is tonight, man. It's gonna be a good show tonight. And I'm going to dial up and see if Pastor George is ready to come on in. He's a really charismatic character, man. This guy is a ball of energy. I mean, he's really a character, man. This guy, like, I met him a couple times, and I talked to him at the conference. I mean, at the GRAA rally last week, and he's like I say, he's a ball of energy. He's working to get the militias together. He's especially with our chaplain. So, Pastor George, you there?
I am in fact here.
Oh, thank you, sir. So,
and all right, listen. Let's go 100% right away. 79. Set big shout out to my buddy Piers Morgan. Hey, Piers, did you see the latest poll that came out from the Examiner in England, in London? Guess what? 79%. 79% of people in England want their handguns back. Get it, Piers? Okay. Hey, Piers, by the way, just saying that your violent crime rate nearly doubled over the last 10 years, while our crime rate having to do with guns has steadily decreased over the last 20. So tell me, Piers, what are you talking about?
Wow, what an intro. What an intro. And Pastor George, this is Mike. I'm coming with some Pat tonight. He's the, or INSC, he's the state coordinator for the Watchmen of Indiana. So he's going to be here as well with us.
All right. Well, so long as he doesn't get in the way, we're in good shape. Hey, Pat, how are you doing?
Don't worry, I won't get in the way.
All right. Like, I usually start off at 1,000 miles an hour and accelerate beyond that. You know what I'm saying? Hey, GRAA last Saturday, what an awesome, awe-inspiring day. I mean, we're talking about patriots and defenders of the Constitution from yesterday, today, and tomorrow, all bunched up together on the stage. We had guys like Dr. Alan Keyes, Sheriff Richard Mack speaking. I mean, seriously, okay? These guys were paving the ground, okay? Paving the ground for the Patriot Movement before there even was a Patriot Movement, right? And then we had guys like Dan Bugnio and our retired Navy SEAL. He can't be much over 30 years old. I mean, there was Mac Dab, right there, Chief Kessler, the Patriot Movement of today, okay, in your face, forward moving, not giving an inch, and letting people know, hey, guess what? The Constitution is still here, it still stands, and we're still standing for it. And if that was all there was going to be, okay, and plus the ladies that got up there, I'm forgetting people's names here, and I apologize for that.
I forget who they were, too, but they were awesome.
All I know is that they were so inspiring, okay? It cost me $20 for a T-shirt for my wife. That's what I know, okay? She had to have one of those pink pistols that said the ultimate feminine protection. That's what I know. And then, if that wasn't enough, all right? If that wasn't enough, right? We had Sarah Merkel, 15 years old, okay? America's sweetheart, just telling it like it is, shooting from the hip, knowing where she's going, knowing exactly what the issues are, and ready to take us into the next 20, 30, 40 years. And then, if that wasn't enough, we had Noah O'Grady, 9 years old, and his little brother, okay, who's like 7. And I'll tell you right now, all right, this kid's in the third grade. All right, and he is definitely smarter than Barack Hussein Abdullah Muhammad Obama. And wow, you know.
Wow, wow, that's right, man. It was awesome.
9 years old.
Yeah.
Like, we got somebody, hey, listen to Mohawk, you and me, we're starting to get a little gray. I'm just saying we are, okay?
Right.
And we can sit back, I think, you know, when we get done fighting and we're in the old age home, you know, and you've got your Glock or you've got your 1911, you know, in the wheelchair holster, okay?
Right.
We can be safe and secure knowing that Noah O'Grady is going to be, like, in Congress and running for president, protecting our rights, even when we're in a drool cup eating strained peas, man.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, and the park police that were there – actually complimented us on having no problems besides that one heckler that was in the crowd, and he chose the wrong group to mess with, because everyone was everyone was, no fists were thrown, people just turned around and said to them their piece, and then the park police came and moved his butt off of the thing. So it was then the young lady, the girl, who, what was her name again, Pastor? The 15-year-old
Sarah Merkel.
Yeah, she actually went out and told and gave the heckler a piece of her mind. So it was
Oh yeah. Straight away, and you know what? In truth, Sarah knows what she's talking about, and you know what? Big props to the Watchmen, you know, of New Jersey, and I guess Pennsylvania was there.
Right.
Big props to Brother Lurch, who was out there,
yeah,
who moved in, surrounded this heckler. You know what? you know what, and this is the liberal mindset, okay? This is the liberal mindset that you're just going to go off someplace half-cocked, no plan, no real intelligence behind it. And what this dude didn't know was that we had layered security out there, right? And we had a plan in place. I mean, I think that's the mark of the militia and patriot movement, okay, is that we have a plan in place. And our plan worked perfectly. You know, we said no violence, but just when you get these hecklers out there, right, surround them, fill them with a sea of you know, digicam and black leather, and just move them right off the parade ground. And that is exactly what happened. Nobody got violent, but he got gone.
Exactly. And
if they can't even plan enough to heckle properly, how do they think that they're going to plan to have, like, gun control or society control or anything like that?
Right. Yeah, it's just, he thought he could, you know, he thought he could get a rouse out of the people. He wanted to come there and get the crap beat out of them. But he didn't, because the patriots that were there were gentlemen, and they didn't let this guy have his say.
Well, exactly the point. You know, it's like, hey, dude, get your own permit, get your own rally, and you and your three friends can come over and slap hands with each other. In the meantime, it's time for you to go. And you're right. Nobody acted ungentlemanly or unprofessionally, because we had a plan, and I think that the Patriot Movement definitely has a plan. We have a plan for this country too. We have a plan to see our nation not be changed for the worse. Okay, America has been sold a bill of goods. It says hope and change. Well, I hope that the change we see is that the current administration get voted out of office along with all the rest of them, right?
Yeah.
And then we get back to, you know, rugged individualism and, you know, the can-do spirit that built America. And, you know, you mentioned about the Black Rope Brigade.
Yeah.
We're working in the background right now. For those of you who don't know your history lessons, the Black Rope Regiment, actually, was the preachers, the pastors back during the Revolutionary War. They were unafraid to speak on issues. They were unafraid to stir the hearts of men from the pulpit, right? And they were also unafraid to carry a rifle. And we are in the process of gathering together like-minded pastors, ordained deacons, that are willing and desirous to minister alongside of and to members of the Patriot Movement, members of the militia movement, so that they have a pastor too, you know, because once the bullets stop flying, once the bombs stop going off, once the moment comes that you need some encouragement, you know what? There needs to be a pastor there. And before you ever go into the battle, you need to have a man who is willing to stand up and encourage you both spiritually and challenge you mentally, right, by speaking out on the issues. It's time for pastors to stop being afraid, stop sucking on the teat of the 501c3 in this country, start talking about, you know, this is who the moral choice is for a candidate. This is the real issues at hand, right? And to stop being so terrified that the government's going to take away their tax-exempt status.
Right.
And I'm never going to be afraid of that, because we're 501c3, but if you take it away, it won't matter to me, because we don't exercise it. We just pay tax on everything.
Right.
So you can't scare me. You can't scare – and we need guys that – are not going to look down. We're not going to look down on, you know, if somebody comes into your church, you know, with a sidearm on their hip or a rifle even slung across their back. We need to have pastors that aren't going to blink an eye and say, okay, well, there's your seat right there. Sit down to the rest of the guys that are, whatever, you know.
Right.
And I'd stop looking at these guys like some bad, dangerous man. These are my brothers, man. These are my people. These are my people. These are Americans. And may I go down swinging if I don't go down swinging for everybody, you know?
Right. And it's good. Like I know here in PA with our unit with the Watchmen, we do have a chaplain that we found. He's a good guy. He's a trucker. In fact, when we first got kicked off back in January, when we had like a little meet and greet going on, he said the grace over the meals and he was there to talk. But he's a pistol packing pastor. Or not pastor, but a pistol packing chaplain, and he's not afraid to draw his gun if need be, and that's where we gotta get out of that mentality that like every pastor is a pacifist or won't rise up and join the fight.
Well, I want to talk about the difference between being nonviolent and a pacifist. Okay. I am by nature a pacifist. I believe in peace.
Right.
I believe that men should strive to get along peaceably with one another as much as they are able. The problem is that bad men tend to take advantage of those who are peaceable.
Right.
And you have, I'm going to be putting up the sermon that I preached at Second Amendment Sunday last week, which is you have a responsibility to defend your family, and by extension, you know, your neighbors, your friends, those who are unable to defend themselves. You have a responsibility, and I pulled it straight out of the Bible, right?
Right.
And that's what we're talking about. Now, that's different from being nonviolent, which says that you won't take up arms, or you won't take up, you know, that like if somebody like hits you, that you're just going to let them kill you, and that's never been the case. The only justifiable reason for allowing that, it, from a theological standpoint, is that you may preach the gospel before the enemy.
Right.
But if that's not what you're doing, okay, all you are doing is not. Doing the things that you were supposed to do, which is caring for your family, which is protecting your family, protecting your neighborhood, things like that.
Okay. All right, Pastor, we're going to it's the bottom of the hour, so I got to take a quick ad commercial break. So, folks, hang on. We'll be back in about 10 minutes, and we're going to finish up with Pastor George. Just to let you know, Chief Kessler did just shoot me a text. He's in a meeting right now, so as soon as he gets free and he calls, we'll bring him on. And since this is the Chief Kessler Show on the PRN Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
The Tag Gear Zone, when you need it, as fast as you need it. Check out our awesome prices, the awesome gear, and the things that we put in the store that other people just don't offer. If we don't have it, we can find it. If we can't find it, it doesn't exist. It's the Tat Gear Zone. For patriots and anybody else wishing to find that little piece of gear or just that right thing for their vest or their bug out bag, come join us, thetatgearzone.com.
the Watchman Creed. And that creed reads as such: as we cross the many bridges put before us, we will strive to help others cross as well. We will reunite all that has been separated throughout the years in the brotherhood of our citizen soldiers. May we all share in the duties and responsibilities of bringing back our sense of security for ourselves and our families and all the people of this nation. We shall respect the rights of others and seek to quell prejudice and extend the hand of fellowship to each other, and may we all stand united against the oppressions and tyranny confronting us with all the spirit, will, and determination as our forefathers once did when founding our great nation. For we are one of the last remaining symbols of America's freedom, the Watchmen of America.
Citizens should be aware that our great republic is floundering under the heavy weight of socialism. In light of our trampled constitution, lack of adherence to our laws as written, and an overreaching government imposing its will over ours as American citizens, we the people have lost the structure of our republic and thus our freedoms and liberties as we know them. We must correct this travesty right now or lose America forever. We must prepare for the likely chaos of a collapsing economy and join hands. We must become watchmen over our country, each and every one of us.
WatchmenOfAmerica.com, the Patriot solution to securing our nation. Join us in making a difference.
Yeah.
All right, we're back live with on the Breaking All the Rules with Chief Kessler. Chief Kessler's in Missouri. I'm Mohawk. I'm joined by INSC, who's fading in and out on Skype right now. Pastor George, you're still there, right?
I am still here, if not all there.
All right. The floor is yours, sir.
Okay,
take
first of all, I got to say something. There's one thing that gets me madder than only being down to the vegetable omelet MRE, and I'm going to tell you what that is, okay? Getting catalogs from places like Natchez and Midway and what's this one I got the other day? Sportsman's Guide, and there's a whole section here on ammunition sale. We're having a big ammunition sale. You can, I mean, they got 9mm here for like $4 a box and $223. They're, you know, to buy one, get one. Good luck. They have,
yeah.
They don't have any of that stuff. I was very disappointed. I told them, hey, look, I'll take as many boxes of that cheap ammo as you got. They said, well, you got none. I said, you know what? That's very unfair.
It is unfair.
Very unfair. And you want to know why? Do you want to know why they have no ammunition? I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
Okay? Because Barack Hussein Abdullah Muhammad Aziz Obama, did I leave anything out? No. what? He's an American. Really? He said so.
Right.
Because he has his own private army headed up by Janet Napolitano called the Department of Homeland Security. That's buying up ammunition by the billion round lot. I mean, tell me why his private army / police force / SS Gestapo needs to have nearly four times as much ammunition issued to each person involved in that organization as the Marine Corps does. Why is it that they need 1,200 rounds and a Marine needs 300 rounds? Okay, obviously. If you're a Marine, you're a better shot. I'm saying you are, okay?
Right.
But not that much better. Not that much better. And it's because the Fed is looking to wage war on civilians.
Can't be anything else other than that. That's the only thing possible. I mean, like, what do you need? And I never heard of going to the range with your hollow points and shooting paper targets.
No, that's. I have a video up on my YouTube channel, which I'll shamelessly plug, My Guns and My Religion. That's YouTube, My Guns and My Religion. You should all be subscribed to it. Really, you should. And I talk about that. When I go to the range, I unload my weapon, and I put, you know, because I have Hydroshock bullets in there. You know, that's either that or Spirit Gold Dot. Anybody wants to know if you attack Pastor, what you'll be shot with? That's what you'll be getting. special delivery. And you take those out, and you, what do you put in? You put blazers in there, you know, because I don't reload. I can use aluminum case, right?
Right.
Some kind of FMJ type ammunition, and there you have it. Listen, let's talk about this Black Rope Brigade just a little bit more.
Yeah,
okay?
Go ahead.
If you guys take a look for John Peter Muhlenberg on Google, John Peter Muhlenberg, you'll find that he was the very first of the Black Robe Regiment preachers back during the Revolutionary War. And he was giving a sermon one Sunday. It was from the book of Ezekiel, I believe. Anyway, he's going through this, you know, time to live, time to die, right? Time to make war, time to make peace. And he takes and he's got his preacher's black robe on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he walks to the back of the church, and he takes off this black robe, right? And he says, gentlemen, it is now time for war. who stands with me? And underneath this black robe was a complete Continental soldier uniform, right? And that rousing sermon, that rousing speech that he gave, okay, mustered the men in that church and in that community as a call to arms. And here's something that, maybe the people listening don't realize how integral the Black Robe Brigade was during the Revolutionary War, that every single word, every single sentence in the Declaration of Independence came directly from sermons that had been preached from pulpits in churches. That's a historical fact, that they literally cobbled together thoughts and ideas that had been preached from sermons, because that's how pastors, that's how preachers dealt with things. We weren't afraid to say what was right. We weren't afraid to say it was wrong. There was no such thing as political correctness.
Right.
We're to challenge people on moral and social issues from a scriptural standpoint, right? And when we do this, we inspire men's spirits. The Tories and the Redcoats found that those pastors, those ones wearing black robes, were so dangerous, that in a conflict, the standing order was shoot the ones in the black robes first. That they were the most much more dangerous, because while all you guys, and how I love my militias, all right, how I love you guys to pieces, but each member of the militia carries one gun. The guy standing up that inspires the militia controls 100 or 1,000 guns, if only by encouraging the heart and strengthening the heart of the men and the women who wield them. And by the way, John Peter Muhlenberg was not just a guy who stood aside a pulpit. He went on to become one of the greatest combat generals of the Continental Army, second to guys like George Washington, and never gets talked about. So what we're doing is we're gathering together, like I said, men, real men, ordained Christian pastors, Christian deacons that are willing to stand up. And who are going to say, hey, look, I'm not afraid. And I'm not going to be afraid of these men. And I'm not going to be afraid of the issues. And, if you see me, you can know one thing. I'm armed. Trust me on that. And I don't miss very often.
Right. And I know this is my theory. When times I do go to church, I do carry. And the first time I carried the church, my wife looked at me. I'm like, I can't think of any other softer target than a church on a Sunday.
Well, there are, and again, because I know we're doing a lot of internet broadcasting here. All anybody has to do is Google pastor shot in pulpit. So just put those words and Google it up, and you will see again and again and again, just that sort of thing. Somebody comes into a church, bursts through the doors, and puts a round right into the pastor.
Right.
That's the truth.
And nothing's sacred anymore. It's an evil world we live in. That people go to church for sanctuary and to feel safe, but then you got these nut jobs that'll come in. Into the door and shoot someone preaching.
Well, right, exactly, because they're knuckleheads. That's why, and because and from a purely biblical standpoint, really, a lot of these guys, when WROL takes and comes about. I mean, we're preparing WROL, SHTF, right? We call it by different means,
right?
And the Christian believer, is going to talk about the time of tribulation,
right?
The Bible, if I may,
yeah,
clearly
yeah.
clearly talks about a time where if you do not take the mark of the beast, that you will neither be able to buy nor sell. Now, I want you to take a clear look, and even those of the guys and gals that are listening, they're not Christian, you know, kind of atheist, don't know where you're going. Think about where our world, our government is heading us towards, right? We've been sold Obamacare, right?
Right.
And we have the highest unemployment right now since the Great Depression, and certainly a lot of the people who are employed, or what I would call marginally employed, you know, people who used to have, you know, real jobs, you know, making things, manufacturing things, stuff like that. They're working at McDonald's. They're working at Walmart and stuff at a subsistence level so that they must rely on the government, right? So we have an entitlement society being developed piece by piece by piece. And what happens when you choose not to be part of the system? What happened? I mean, look at the protests against Monsanto right now.
Right.
Right. The government's protecting those people who would create food that you can't replicate. I mean, one of the things that's astounding to me, and I'm not a big Monsanto. I don't understand all the issues with it, and I'm not going to pretend that I do. But one of the things that one of my friends who is really involved in that let me know is like, okay, so let's say I go out and I plant seeds that Monsanto created, right, in the ground. If I harvest those seeds. From the plants that I grew are no good, so the government here is controlling the food supply,
right?
After a real sense, so now we can't have medicine, we can't have food, we can't have income unless we kowtow to what the government has to say. Well, in a very real sense, you are taking the mark of the beast known as socialism, right? I mean, that's I think that's a fair linear direction to go to. So if you're not playing their game, you'll neither be able to buy nor sell, right? I mean, just straight away. And look at how hard it is to even use cash, you know, to buy things in today's world. So you've got all this stuff going on that now suddenly lines up with what the Bible has to say.
Right.
So what I teach my people is like, look, preppers, look, Christian. It's time for us to all get together so that when that WROL happens, you know, when the blue-helmeted soldiers brought in to keep the peace from the UN are marching down Main Street USA to enforce these things, that we are together, right, able to have our own off-the-grid community. And whether you call it being a prepper or whether you call it being, you know, or something else, then that's fine, you know, and it's going to be you and I that has each other to lean on. And if you think that you're going to lean on the government, okay, listen, Mohawk, we live on the East Coast, right?
Right.
All right. I just got two words, Hurricane Sandy.
Right.
All right. Now, I think we were a little bit more affected than you were down south, and then we were out of power up here 5-6 days, just at my place, right?
Yeah.
And it astounded me. All you had to do is take a look at the news that was coming out, right?
Right.
Of New York and Long Island and stuff, and people were out of food completely in 24 hours. 24 hours. That's all most people have got between themselves and starvation. Is that insanity?
It's insane because, like, I've been prepping for a couple of years now, and I go on my, no, I wouldn't say tirades, but I tell people, you need to prep, and I get laughed at and mocked at, saying, oh, the government will take care of us. No, they won't. Look at the people that were starving in the street, lined up for blocks. I mean, not just a country block, city blocks.
Right.
For an MRE and a bottle of water.
Right, exactly what I'm saying.
Right.
And those people could not buy nor sell. There was nothing to buy. There's nothing to sell. They had there was nothing out there. And you got what the government gave you. Are you ready to live in a world like that, unprepared? And I'm telling you from the pulpit, I'm going to get you prepared spiritually. I'm going to tell you from the pulpit to get yourself prepared mentally. I'm going to tell you from the pulpit to get yourself prepared physically.
Right.
Right? One of the things that I grouse about, I'm 50, going on 55 years old. And I look at people and they're in horrible physical condition, you know, and I'm out at the gym 4 or 5 nights a week.
Right.
Because let me tell you something. If you're unhealthy now, it gets worse when WROL happens. And I don't know how I got to this point, but, you know, you need to start getting your body ready. You start need to get your mind together. You need to be putting some food away. You know, even if it's, hey, look, there's a local store that has what they call a can sale twice a year. Are you going out and spending $100 worth of canned goods? And just, you know, once you've got that $100 worth of stuff that your family normally eats,
right?
You just work your way through it and you rotate your way through it. Well, guess what? You know what? Serious business. You've got enough food there. I mean, it might just be vegetables.
Right.
And stuff. But you can live just – I'll tell you right now, you can live just fine on bean and corn chili for quite some long time. And you can be living on that for months and months on end. You know what? When that Hurricane Sandy hit, you know what? All I did was open up the cupboard, and I said to my wife, I said, looks like we're having corned beef hash tonight, baby. And she says, oh, I guess you'll have to suffer through that, won't you?
And like – Down here in Philly, we had we were without power for maybe about 18 hours, and people were going nuts after 18 hours. But you know what I did? As soon as the power went out, I went out to my truck, got my emergency blanket, wrapped my refrigerator, and then the next day everything was still frozen in there and cold. I limited the refrigerator opening, but I still had my stores and. I went out, got some ice, cleared out the refrigerator, put ice bags on every other shelf, and stuff was still good. But as soon as I did that, the power came back on. If I didn't do that, I would be without power. But I went out and got like $15 worth of ice from a local ice house, and after I got done rearranging everything, the power comes back on.
Right.
So, but I still got my preps, and. People are not going to wake up till they're 3 days in and realize that what the preppers are telling them is the truth.
One of the things I thought was just astounding, and I was down in town the day before the storm hit. And I just for laughs, I walked into the hardware store. I didn't really need anything. And I dash in because I can be a bit of a jerk sometimes, right? And I know everybody at the hardware store, like by, you know, it's small town America.
Right.
And I rush in, I go, I need flashlights, batteries, lanterns. I just laugh and says, we haven't got any of those things. And I looked over, right, because I was just being a jerk, you know. And there it was. There it was. There wasn't a battery, a flashlight, a candle to be had anywhere. And I'm like, holy smokes! I said, that means like the whole town went out and bought batteries and flashlights today. I'm like, this is the last place I want to be. I said, I looked at girls in the face. I said, I'm just got all my stuff on to charge, you know. And when the lights go out, I said, we're fine, we're good, you know.
Yeah. and you know what? It was like I was ready. Like I already I was having to be down one of my buddy's houses when the power went out. We were talking because a big tree at the end of the street fell down and crushed this truck. And people thought it was my truck because I got an older Ford pickup truck. I'm like, nah, mine's safe in my driveway. I would never park under a tree with a hurricane coming anyway. But this guy parked under a tree, got crushed, and then other trees were falling down. And next thing you know, pop, boom, fizzle. All the power's out. And then, would you believe it? Like, during the storm, there was actually thugs canvassing the neighborhood because the power was out already. Anyway, it's just unbelievable what happens when the people take that moment. And that's another reason why people need to be armed and prepared, because when the garbage hits the fan, that's when... The people that want to prey on people are going to come out and start taking advantage of people. And that was evident, too, in New York, because people were charging exuberant amounts of money for a bottle of water or gas, like $15 to $20 a gallon for gas, so people could run their generators or run their chainsaws during the cleanup and everything. It's just how these people come out in droves and take advantage of the suffering of people.
Well, absolutely, and let's face it. Okay, if your house is the only one on the block that has lights in that kind of a scenario, guess what? You just became a target. Are you ready? Are you prepared to protect your family? Because I'll tell you right now, desperate men do desperate things, and they will come and try to take what you have, whether you want them to or not. And you know what? You need to be ready. You need to be able to defend your wife, your daughters, your children, whatever else, right? And if you're not ready, shame on you. You know, Bible says, you know, if you don't, Jesus himself said, if you've got money, you need to get a pouch and a sword. Okay, I don't know if that doesn't sound like a first century bug out bag to me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Oh, okay. So Griff's 61 says he needs bacon in his bug out bag. So okay.
Yeah, I know. Bacon in this chat room. Bacon is a household word. So, all right.
That's kosher bacon, Pastor George.
Well, it's all right. You know, I eat bacon. This is my bacon had feathers on it before it died.
That is now. See, a lot of people don't like turkey bacon, but turkey bacon's pretty tasty.
I like turkey bacon. It's all right. Actually, you know, when we cock anything that takes ham hocks in it, we use smoked turkey legs, and I tell you, I like it a whole lot better. You know, when you're making bean soup and all that stuff, and it's higher quality protein, and it is not a sin, Tony.
And you know what? Like when I'm, you know, it's really good when you make chili. I use turkey when I make chili, and it is very flavorful for chili.
Well, pretty much what we use around here is roadkill and the buzzards that eat it. So. You know. Because you're not really hardcore until you're making chili out of ground buzzard.
So what do you got in the works right now?
What do we got? What in what works?
Any works. What's your plan for the next couple weeks?
Okay, my plan for tomorrow is I'm taking out the Gomez. That's my boat, and I'm going fishing. Okay, that's my big plan for tomorrow. Notice I didn't say catching. I said fishing.
Right.
Catching may be a separate deal. Let's see. Headed out to Erie, Pennsylvania, with the chief on the 22nd of June to cause all kinds of rabble and rousing out there. Looking forward to, and I can't really say exactly when it is, but I do know that my grandson, who is in the United States Navy, big props to all our sailors out there, is coming home on leave before his ship deploys. And again, I can't say what ship and I can't say what date, although I do know for security reasons, for national security, blah,
right.
blah, blah, blah. We don't want to see him getting blown up.
Right.
However, our plans, and I was chatting with him last night, are to go fishing. Machine gun shooting and blowing stuff up.
Awesome. Awesome. the awesome trifecta.
Because, right, if you have a grandfather, okay, and he's not teaching you to shoot, fish, and blow stuff up, he's doing it wrong. I'm just saying. He's doing it wrong. Hey, I'll tell you a story. And it's pretty cool. I was out me and the boy were out fishing last summer, and we caught a fair mess of perch. And I taught him how to fillet perch. Nobody had ever taken the time, really. His dad never had. I don't think his dad knows how to. And I showed him how to fillet perch, right, the way that I learned from my grandfather, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I forget where I was going. The next day I was at the gym and stuff. And I come home, and there's my grandson. He had gone fishing again the next day. And there he is at my sink. filleting fish just the way Grandpa taught them. Serious business. Serious business. And so we had a fish fry that night. It was pretty good, I'll tell you what. And the reality is, you know, gentlemen, is that we have a responsibility not only to be prepared for ourselves, but you know what? Seriously, you need to be teaching your sons and your grandsons, if you're old enough to have grandsons, you need to teach them how to, you know, to teach them how to gig frogs. You need to teach them how to fish. You need to teach them how to hunt. You need to teach them how to be men. And as soon as men start being men and not being afraid to be men, right, in this world, and teaching our sons and our grandsons how to be men and to be stand-up guys, right, this country is going to make a sudden screeching halt from the downward slope that it's going, right, and go back the direction it's supposed to be, where, you know, like I know I have a real problem with the way that men are portrayed in this world. I have a real problem with the way they act in this world. That what happened to the men? You know, like what happened to the men?
Right.
You know, and with it the respect that we, you know, that we should be showing each other and be shown.
Right.
And it's gone. I mean, if you look, I mean, think about it. Now, for just a minute, you turn on the idiot box for even a half an hour, and you see a man and a woman on TV. Is that man, you know, like being portrayed in a commercial in a positive or a negative light? He's always a bumbling buffoon.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And we're not bumbling buffoons, you know, or at least we shouldn't be.
Right.
Yeah, metrosexuals. Chris says it turning into metrosexuals. And no, we can't be that. We can't, no, we can't be that, man. I'm sorry.
We got to do things, and like, and then, like, like both my sons, my younger sons, they're 6 and 8, and they're involved in Scouts, and I'm involved in Scouts with them, because that teaches kids how to do things. You learn about nature, and you learn about the woods and stuff, and that's a lost art there. That's a lot to start in this world of video games.
But are you teaching? Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, so you play Call of Duty. That's cute, really. But the question is, in the Scouts, are you teaching them how to blow things up?
Not yet.
Yeah,
that comes later. But we are in the process of trying to put together a junior watchman program.
See, you need to. You need to teach your sons how to properly blow stuff up.
Right. If you learn how to blow stuff up, you go. That's a lost art as well. But we are trying to get together a junior watchman program we do a lot of stuff that the kids can't get involved with. I mean, we do like an FTX or something like that. But we want to bring kids and integrate them into this, because they're the next generation that's going to be holding these organizations together. It can't just stop at our age, you know.
Well, no, and it can't. And we have this responsibility, and we have this responsibility. And I tell you what, we had Second Amendment Sunday up at the church last Sunday, and it was awesome. We had some of the guys from CSF Bucks County. Big shout out to Dave and to Bruce and Tony and all those guys. And they brought their kids up. You know, they brought the kids up. And
right.
One of the fellas had his youngest son there. And I said, okay, I think he was 7 or 8 years old. And I said, okay, I'm going to take my Browning T-bolt up off the rack. I'm going to finally get off my blessed assurance here and clean the rust spots off of it and get it lubed and happy again. Said, I had gotten this gun when I was 10 years old, right? And I'll tell you what, it made my heart sore, because there was all these young guys, all the way down to munchkins and boys and stuff, right, out with their dads and uncles and whoever they were to them, you know, and friends. And there was this little munchkin, like 7 years old. I got a picture on my Facebook of him shooting that rifle, you know.
Right.
And you should have seen the look on his face. He hit Brother Kevin took and filled up about 75 1-gallon, you know, milk jugs with water and stuff, and and he tore up one of those milk jugs with a stinger, and it just exploded all over the face.
Awesome.
You see the look on his face, and that dad, I got video of him, he hit it.
Awesome.
It's like, there you go.
Man. See, that's a good moment. Pastor, we do got a caller on the line. 607, you're on with the Chief Kessler Show.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Oh, well, Mark's not here now. He's at a conference. This is Mohawk. I'm filling in for Chief. But we do got Pastor George on the line.
All right. Well,
this is Chris.
This is Chris from Facebook. And I just had a question. It might be kind of off topic. Do you have a minimum age requirement to join CSF?
I'm not 100% sure on this. I can check, but I believe you may need to be 18. Let me just take a look here. Why, how old are you, Chris?
Well, I'm 33, but my son wants to join. He's going to be 15.
Well, I think, let's see.
And I didn't see, and I didn't want to go through and you know, sign him up and then have it be a problem.
Okay, let's see here. Somebody just pinged me a little bit. I'm looking at the bylaws and stuff. Definitions, founder, membership. Okay, he can't have been convicted of treason, felony, et cetera, et cetera. He can't advocate the violent overthrow of the United States. Nothing about if you like you're a racist, you can't be.
Right.
Yeah,
I remember reading through all that before I joined.
I don't think that there's a minimum age. I don't think there's
right.
a minimum age. I mean,
okay.
If he's a decent kid, you know, we'll definitely let him, I think.
Yeah,
definitely.
As long as
you've
got parental supervision there.
Right. Well, he'd be with me anyway. So, but it was, I think, a good question because a lot of people, you know, kind of like the NRA, you can get a junior membership and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, I don't see anything there. I was just reading the bylaws. I don't see anything in there about, you know, having to be 18 or anything. And I know the chief pretty well. He'd be just like, I think he'd be pretty cool with it.
Okay.
You know.
Alrighty.
All right. So we're gonna get you signed up. Right, get over there on the website chiefkessler.com and get signed up.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm already signed up. I signed up a little over a month ago. So.
And what part? Where do you live at?
I live in Endicott, New York, Broome County.
Oh, man, we're praying for you, dude.
Yeah, you know, we're going through a lot right now, so.
Keep the faith, brother. That's
it.
And that's coming from your neighbors south of you.
Yep. Well, trust me, a few years, if this doesn't change when he graduates, we're out of here. We're going south, so. They're just pushing everybody right out of New York.
I tell you what, I don't blame you, man. And you know, New York City becomes a great experiment of what happens when you have really strict gun laws.
Yep.
Let's think about it, okay? Let's think about it. New York City, Philadelphia, which has tighter gun laws than anywhere else in the state of Pennsylvania.
That's the truth.
Baltimore, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Boston, Massachusetts, Hartford, Connecticut, Chicago, Illinois, Los Angeles, California, okay?
Yep.
Now, I just named the highest crime cities in the country. Coincidentally, they have the strictest gun laws.
Yep. Yep. Well, you know, how bad is that? I don't know how familiar you are with New York and how bad it's gotten here. If I subscribe to Sportsman's Guide and Natchez and all the, you know, sporting magazines. And just some of the things that we cannot even get mailed here, tasers, pepper spray, anything for self-defense, if it's classified as a defense walking stick, it cannot be mailed to New York. We cannot get slingshots BB pistols, certain air rifles that, you know, BB guns that look like an assault rifle now can't be shipped to New York. That's how bad it's gotten in New York. And it's just out of control. And you know as well as I do, not one of those laws about shipping them here would have ever prevented any, you know what I mean? A lot of that stuff you can actually buy. You know, I can go to the local gun shop and I can buy pepper spray. Now, granted, I have to sign for it and I have to put my name and address down. That way they have proof if I ever commit a crime with it, where I bought it and everything else. But I can buy it here, but it can't be shipped to New York. And it's just all these laws from the city now are slowly making their way statewide, and we're getting punished. You know, I can't get certain gun stock shipped here for a Ruger 1022. You know, because it's considered in New York City as illegal. You know,
well,
like some old stocks.
Near where I live, there's a Walmart that's probably 5 miles from the New Jersey border, 6 miles from the New Jersey border. And every, you know, wintertime, come December, they bring in a big stock of Daisy Red Ryder BB guns, which here in Pennsylvania are not classified as firearms. They're actually sold in the, well, I guess they're in the sporting goods section. I don't think they're in the toy aisle.
Except in Philadelphia. You're not allowed to buy BB guns in there.
Right. And I'll tell you right now that there are several people that have bought BB guns from that Walmart, gone across the Delaware River Bridge, and become instantaneous felons as soon as they went into New Jersey with them.
Yep. Well, you look at the crazy law with the fireworks. Now, in Pennsylvania, they can't sell fireworks to Pennsylvania residents. But yeah, all along, you know, I live in Endicott, Binghamton area, which is right along the PA border. So
right.
New Yorkers can go into Pennsylvania and buy fireworks, even though it's against the law in New York. And PA is allowed to sell them to New Yorkers, you know, but you're considered breaking the law if you transport them back over into New York.
Right.
It's just a mess they've got going on.
It's just crazy. But Chris, I'm gonna have to let you go because we gotta start wrapping up the past. Looks like I got next guest coming up. But man, thanks for calling in, and just keep the faith, brother. And Chief's gonna be calling in shortly. He just texted me, so he'll be calling in to give us an update. So, but thanks a lot, man. And
sounds
you be safe out there, brother.
You too, guys.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Lobby, man.
All right, Pastor. I want to just wrap this up then. I know you're a busy man. So I just want to thank you for taking out time tonight and talking with us.
Not a problem. Listen, guys, don't forget My Guns and My Religion on YouTube. And if you're not doing anything, you need some spiritual uplifting, our services are at 8 o'clock in the evening on Friday, 11 a.m. on Sunday, and you can find us at RadioNehemiah.org. That's RadioNehemiah.org. And you can listen in. Hey, listen, God bless you all, one and all, and keep your powder dry. Mullen Lobby, guys.
Mullen Lobby.
Later.
Thank you. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick music break, and we'll be right back on the PRN. Chief Kessler, but minus the Chief Kessler tonight because he's at a conference. My name is Mohawk. I'm joined by state coordinator for Indiana for the Watchmen of America. And our next guest tonight, the man, the myth, the legend, Mark Passio, who's a local activist here in Philadelphia, who's got a lot to say, but he's... Mark, it's just unbelievable what happened to you and your wife a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we were assaulted by federal agents in the Cradle of Freedom right here in Philadelphia, right outside of Independence Hall and the Liberty Bell, for simply doing nothing other than exercising constitutionally protected natural rights of freedom of speech and freedom of the press. And this is where it has come in America, ladies and gentlemen, that now federal agents are telling people in the home of freedom, where this country was born, that they need to pay the federal government permission, to ask the federal government permission and to pay them for a permit to exercise free speech and free press. I'll set it up for everyone. We were we attended the End the Fed rally here in Philadelphia, which takes place usually bi-yearly, almost every 6 months here in Philadelphia. There's an End the Fed rally. And this is done simply to call attention to the local citizenry here in Philadelphia about the immoral monetary policy of the Federal Reserve banking system, which is the central bank of the United States. So we were handing out flyers, and I'll read what was on the flyer. The flyer simply said, "End the Fed, the Federal Reserve Bank, keeping the poor poor since 1913. Quick facts about the Fed. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the dollar has lost 95% of its purchasing power. Money creation robs people of their savings by causing the hidden taxation of inflation. Most of the personal income tax pays interest on the national debt directly to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve enables Congress to pay for unlimited warfare by giving them the power to borrow money without the people's consent, and the Federal Reserve concentrates power into the hands of special interests and removes it from the people where it belongs." And then it had two links, Truth, Freedom, Prosperity, and CFLiberty.org. TruthFreedomProsperity.org and CFLiberty.org, two local activist groups in the Philadelphia area. That's all the flyer had on it. And if it wouldn't matter whether it said that I want you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal savior, it wouldn't have said that I want you to embrace dark occultic worldview. It wouldn't have said that it didn't matter if it said that I'm pro-abortion. It wouldn't have mattered that if it said I'm anti-abortion. It wouldn't have mattered if it said I'm pro-gay marriage. It wouldn't have mattered that if it said I'm anti-gay marriage. Nothing that is on the flyer would have mattered, because people have a natural inherent right that is a birthright that they need no permission to exercise from anyone. It's an unalienable human right to speak and to engage people peacefully with information that cannot be alienated. That means it cannot be separated from or taken away from mankind.
Yeah,
this is a natural right.
And like I've been, you've seen, I've joined you guys a few times down the end of the Fed rally, and it's a peaceful demonstration of our First Amendment rights to speak out against the Federal Reserve and the sham that's become the Federal Reserve, and with them printing up worthless greenbacks that are not backed by gold like people think it is.
Not only is it not backed by anything, when you inflate the money supply, what you're doing is devaluing the purchasing power of that unit of currency. And therefore, it's a hidden theft. It's a theft that goes unnoticed. If you put money away in savings and time passes by, because of inflation, that money doesn't buy what it once could buy. This, people think of this as the prices of things as going up, but it's not. It means that the purchasing power of the unit of money is going down, and this is a direct result of the Fed's monetary policy. So what we were doing is exercising not only a right, not only a human right, but a duty to warn people about an immoral activity that is taking place that constitutes a hidden theft. This is even beyond a right. It's a moral obligation, a duty. If you know how this scheme works, you have a moral obligation to tell other people about it. And now federal officers come up to us and say that we cannot hand out flyers without a permit. We have to seek the government's permission and then pay them money to receive a permit to be allowed to hand out information to other people. So when they told me this, I was so, first of all, taken aback that I couldn't even believe these people were daring to tell me I needed a permit to speak and to exercise my natural right, which is constitutionally protected in the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights of the Constitution of the United States of America.
Right, and that's something that you've done 20 times in the past with no bullcrap.
At the very least, maybe more.
Right, and people are always, and I've been down Independence Hall before, people are always walking around handing stuff out.
Right, right.
And then the thing that I did notice is half the park police that were there that day did not have their name tags on.
Right, because they're embarrassed about what they're even being asked to do, because what they are good little order followers who don't care about what's right or wrong. They don't care about rights. All they care about is a paycheck. That's their god. That paper god is all their value system. They have no value system. That is their value system, a piece of worthless paper. And they will do anything that they're told because they think that they can abdicate their personal responsibility to know the difference between right and wrong. And let me just I'll wrap up the story, and I just want to make a few other comments. I calmly asserted that this is a natural right and that I don't need the permission of the federal government to exercise a natural right, that it's an unalienable right of all humankind, and that no one can tell anybody that they don't have a right to exercise that right or tell them that they have to pay someone for permission, to beg someone for permission or pay them money to be allowed to exercise that right.
And this is all in the shadow of the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall, where
so
freedom started.
Right next to the Liberty Bell, right outside of the Liberty Bell, across from Independence Hall and a statue of Thomas Jefferson, one of our founding fathers of this country.
Right, it's just bull crap, man. It's just, I don't know. It's just our rights are getting eroded more and more. And it's not like we're not anti-government, we're pro-constitution.
Well, this is the reason that the Second Amendment is even in place. The reason the Second Amendment is in place is to protect the First Amendment. Make no mistake about it. Once free speech starts getting shut down, that is the beginning of the total closing down of a once free society into a totalitarian police state. We are actively seeing that process before our eyes. And if people don't snap up and wake up and understand what's going on, they're going to find themselves in gulag prisons, Soviet style, in short order. Okay, so they became viciously angry that I said, no, you don't have a right to stop me from doing this. You don't have a right to tell me that I have to pay someone to exercise a natural right. This is, first of all, beyond a natural right. It's a duty. I'm not harming anybody in doing this duty, okay? I am not hurting anybody else's property. There's no littering taking place. I am not damaging anybody's property or usurping any of their natural rights. Therefore, you do not maintain the right to tell me that I may not do this. You're usurping my rights by even telling me that I may not engage in this activity. And when I said that, they became so viciously angered that I was daring to challenge them and tell them that what they were telling me was not correct and that they were actually committing a crime themselves in attempting to follow this unlawful federal regulation that should have never been written, that no one has the right to even write down and attempt to pass into so-called law. This is no law at all. This is no law. No one has a moral obligation to obey this law. If anybody attempts to execute or enforce this law, they themselves are committing a crime. This is a criminal activity that was being done to us.
Right.
Okay, we were being assaulted. Then they resorted to violence. Physically stopped us and told us we were not free to proceed on our way when we were attempting to leave the area. We were simply walking through the area, handing a few people a couple of pieces of information.
Right.
And they said, you're not free to leave. You're not free to continue on your way. And I said, whose rights have I violated? Who have I harmed? Okay.
Right.
whose property have I damaged? And they told me, no one. No, you haven't done any of those things. Well, I said, then I want to be free to go on my way. And they said, well, you're not free to go.
Right,
and I said, I'm not free to go. I'm being arrested. I'm being unlawfully arrested because I disagreed with you that you have the right to tell me that I may not speak or engage people peaceably with information. Yeah, and they said, yes, you're not free to leave. And slapped handcuffs on me and my wife. Forced us to the ground against our will, held us there under duress in an unlawful arrest, and yes, this is a duress, this is an arrest, regardless of what you want to call it, and you want to play word games and say it's a detainment. No, it is not just a detainment. The word arrest means to stop,
right.
To use force to stop. Force was used against our will to stop us from proceeding on our way. That is an unlawful arrest. We have harmed none. We did nothing but exercise a duty and a right.
Right.
And we were stopped from proceeding on our way. Regardless of what you want to call that with word games, that is an unlawful arrest.
And that's bull.
Okay?
That's bull. And Mark, hold that thought.
Sure.
I got to take a commercial break at the bottom of the hour. Folks, we'll be right back with Mark Passio, who will continue with his illegal detainment by the feds. We'll be right back on the Chief Kessler Show.
The folks at KISS Tactical would like to let you know American craftsmanship is alive and well. Standing behind their goods and services, they can give you the best bang for your hard-earned buck. So check them out at KISSTactical.com. That's KISSTactical.com.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from our cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time. Just like Gonzales, we're keeping our guns.
Each of us steps forward to make a difference. all of these moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain.
WatchmenOfAmerica.com, the Patriot solution to securing our nation. Join us in making a difference.
Coming in hot! Watch your step, man!
Oh!
Hey, man, where'd you get those awesome boots at?
Oh, dude, I got them at TacGearZone.com. Nice optic sight, man. Where did you get that?
I got this at TacGearZone.com, too. Evening, Allah. I got my uniforms at TacGearZone.com, too.
Shut up, Hockey!
Get everything you need to keep you infidel strong at www.techgearzone.com. All right, we're back live. We're breaking all the rules with Chief Kessler. We have a phone call. This could be the magic number I've been waiting for. 570, you're on the air. We're on the Chief Kessler show.
Hey, brother. What's going on? We're mad at Chief Kessler.
Hey! Chief Kessler calling into his own show.
Oh my God! You guys are miss a fantastic time. We got one more day yet, and I can tell you one thing, folks. Tomorrow is going to be a bombshell. I can't get into details about what's going on with tomorrow, but it's going to be a closed door session for law enforcement only, with some top investigators that have been conducting a 22-month investigation into some very high-level individuals, let's just put it that way. I can't spill the beans yet. But
awesome.
After tomorrow, it's going to be a game changer, I can tell you that. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to be public, when they're going to go public with it, but I'll give the details out tomorrow. If they give the green light to give it out, I will definitely give it out. And I was also invited to D.C. to when they decide to actually formally bring the evidence to in front of Congress. So we'll find out. It's going to be a very interesting ride the next couple months.
That's awesome.
I can tell you that. It's going to be a game changer.
What you going to do when they come for you, bad boys, bad boys?
I meet with the law enforcement from all over the country, sheriffs, chiefs of police, elected officials, mayors, county officials, state reps from all over the country. There's probably maybe 400 or 500 here right now in the casino. Larry Pratt's here. Stuart Rhodes is here. I sat with Stuart Rhodes most of the day. Richard Mack, myself. You name it, they're here. It's absolutely phenomenal.
And how's the attendance down there?
Here he comes. Here he comes right now. Man of the hour. Mr. Pratt. Larry Pratt.
All right, Larry Pratt.
Yep. What was that again, brother?
I said Larry Pratt's the man. We met him last week in Philly, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I'm gonna actually be discussing some things with Larry and Richard Mack a little bit later on about teaming up, doing some things there with Gun Owners of America and CSPOA. So good fights on, brothers.
That's good, man. That's good. I'm glad you're able to call in tonight, because everyone was wondering how things were going down there and everything. And I texted you and called you. I was like, ah, shit, I hope he doesn't get black bag down there.
No, it's a real good time. I'm surrounded by a lot of real good people. And I think 99.9% of them are armed except me. I'm the only one that didn't bring a gun.
Because of the Nazi TSA.
No, I actually found out that you could actually bring a gun on the plane. You just got to check it. You can actually bring a handgun on the plane, but you have to have has to be in a lockbox. You have to declare it. They inspect the box. You can even bring ammunition, but you have to declare it, and that has to be in a lockbox and the whole nine yards. So I didn't know that until the boys from Arizona showed up with their guns.
Right. So now you know for next year.
Absolutely, brother. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's cool. And then I know you're busy, and then you'll be back on next week, regular time, right?
Yeah. Yep, correct. I'll be back next week. I'll be flying out tomorrow night sometime. I should be back in PA late Saturday night, probably around 11:30, 12 o'clock. Midnight, I should be in Philly. So tomorrow's going to be a very, very interesting day, I can tell you that, with the information that I was given today for a short presentation, a 10-minute presentation that was given by the top investigator that's been investigating a certain individual for almost 2 years now. Tomorrow is going to be the bombshell. So
that's awesome. That's awesome.
Hold on to your seats, my men. Hold on to your seats, brothers, because it's going to get very, very interesting. And like I said, these ain't my words. These are the words from law enforcement officials that are on the job 20-plus years, and it's just a shocker what they have to say. So. And hopefully, it's going to be public. When, I'm not sure. If they say that, if they give the green light to go ahead tomorrow after the law enforcement only meeting, then we'll do a radio show on it.
Yeah,
well,
definitely. So go ahead, man. You go take care of business down there. I just want, glad you called in and just let us know how everything was.
Okay,
and,
brother.
And I'll talk to you on Sunday and make sure you're back safe and sound. And
All right,
brother. You be safe now.
All right, my man. You too. Take care.
All right. Thanks.
God bless. Bye-bye.
I'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Aaron. That was the man, the myth, the legend, Chief Kessler, calling into his own show from the big conference down in Missouri, the CSPOA 2013 convention. Like you said, they got some bombshell news down there, and law enforcement only. So I mean, we'll have to wait, but I'm pretty sure that that as soon as this comes out, it's going to go national. So can't wait to hear. It was a 22-month investigation. So exciting times we live in, huh, Mark? Mark Passio.
Absolutely, and I applaud the chief for the good work that he's doing, and his efforts to actually act as a peace officer in a constitutional capacity that respects the natural rights of individuals. So I want to say that I have a lot of respect for him for doing that.
Yeah, and he's every week he's here, and we started a show last week. We had a really good turnout of people, and hopefully the turnout was there again tonight. And today, and feels good to be walking in his shoes, covering a show like this, and bringing on Pastor George, and then bringing on you, and then the chief throwing in the mix and everything, and just getting the word out there, man, that we're all tired of this crap,
right?
And we're banding together. This is what it's about. It's about unity within this. So, but Mark, Ed, where we left off,
sure.
We got about like 15 minutes.
Okay. So, you know, they got viciously angered at my declaration that I had engaged in a peaceful activity that was my natural right, that they had no right to attempt to stop me from exercising, and then they immediately resorted to violence. Okay, three of them come up from behind me, slap cuffs onto my wife, force us to the ground, apply the cuffs so tight and in a single locked capacity. You know,
right.
That it actually did some nerve damage to my left hand. I kept telling them, I'm actively being harmed. You put these cuffs on me, you know, deliberately too tight. I want them loosened. They refused to do that. Okay. Kept us there for almost a half an hour while my hands were bright red.
Right.
All the blood flow to my hands was completely arrested. And now, after this happened on May 18th, it's the 31st. I still cannot feel three of the knuckles on my left hand. I have diminished feeling on my left hand from what I can only imagine is nerve damage. I have not seen a doctor yet because I don't have the money to see a doctor.
Right.
I guess I'm going to have to, you know, once I, you know, take this into litigation, try to see a doctor over this. but I have, you know, actual nerve damage resulting from what they've done, which is a subtle form of torture that they deliberately did because they didn't like the fact someone was standing up to them and asserting their rights. So they illegally, unlawfully searched my person when I told them I didn't consent to any searches because I had done nothing wrong, took my wallet out of my pocket, you know, to check for an ID and run an ID, okay? And while I was being arrested there, I was speaking very loudly to all the people within a range, you know, of my voice at Independence Hall, telling them that this is a violation of natural rights, constitutionally protected natural rights. All of their rights were being usurped in the process. This is what's happening in America. They need to sit up and take notice. And a crowd of like 100 people gathered around and was hearing me talk while this was all happening. And in that crowd was a descendant of one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I saw her on video. I saw her on video saying that.
Yep.
And there was kids there. And these kids don't need to be subjected to seeing someone thrown in handcuffs. And usually handcuffs are meant for the violent offenders.
Right.
You know? I mean, they could have well enough told you to sit on the curb while they sort this out. They didn't have to throw you in handcuffs like you were.
Because what it is they're told to arrest anybody that they perceive as challenging them. These people think they're God. That's all it comes down to. Man is in a state where this group of people that call themselves government believes that they are becoming God on the earth. Let's not mince any words. Let's just call it as it really is.
Exactly.
What this whole situation is really about is a group of human beings who think that they are God. And they're going to be proven that they're not God on earth. This is going to be proven to them. One way or another, they're going to learn they're not God. Okay, so here's the end of what happened is they tried to issue us citations, okay, and I refused to take the citation. I said, I'm not taking that from you. I'm not signing it. I refuse to take it from your hand because I've done nothing wrong. You're the one who has done something wrong. I've committed no crimes. You're the one who has committed a crime, and I'm not taking that from you. I will be taking you each into court personally on personal criminal charges, not suing your department, but suing you individually as a human being for committing a crime. We've been assaulted. Our First Amendment protected natural rights have been usurped. Our Fourth Amendment natural rights have been usurped. Okay,
right.
Amendment protected natural rights have been usurped. Also, property was stolen from me. They stole all of the remainders of my flyers, saying we're keeping this as quote-unquote evidence. Evidence of what? Of exercising free speech. Took all the flyers I had paid to print. And luckily, I only had a few of them left. I had given out the bulk of them on the march earlier in the day of the End the Fed rally. And they stole a $20 bill out of my wallet. To add insult to injury, they stole money from my wallet like just a common criminal thug, petty thug thief on the street.
Right, and
now, these are the people who are entrusted with a position of so-called responsibility. These are psychopathic criminals. This is a psychopathic criminal activity is what happened to us. We were victims of an assault. We were victims of the usurpation of natural rights. We were the victims of theft. Common thuggery is what we were the victims of. And anybody who doesn't accept that, anybody who doesn't think that's exactly what it was, is a slave. They think as a slave thinks.
Right.
Okay? If you don't know that that's what just took place, your mindset is the mindset of a slave, and you don't understand that we're moving into the same type of state as Hitler's Germany or Stalin's Russia.
And I'm glad you brought up the Hitler's Germany part, because it's and this will tie in with this, too. If you look at one of the other co-hosts on the station, Zebra, who's also I co-host Watchmen Wednesdays with him, he brought up a picture a couple weeks ago after this whole Boston false flag event.
Yep.
Well, first of all, people were cheering.
Yep.
The martial law, and brought back remnants of the 30s with people cheering.
Yep.
The Nazi stormtroopers marching in to Austria.
Exactly. Hey, Bob, listen. Exactly what you're saying here is exactly what this country is becoming. And there's a reason it's becoming a police state a la the Nazi regime or a la the Soviet regime. There's a reason for it. There's an underlying causal factor for that that most people have not identified yet. And that is the loss of morality that has occurred throughout all of America.
Yeah.
There's a natural law that is in place throughout the whole universe. As morality is lost, freedom is lost. As morality is gained, freedom is gained. Understand that law. You can never escape that law. If you don't know the difference between right and wrong, you're going into a prison societally. When society doesn't know the true difference between right and wrong, meaning they don't know their rights and they don't know what wrongs are, okay, you're going into a cage. You're going into deep bondage. Okay?
Right. And the scary thing, Mark, was I saw a picture of two guardsmen during Boston checking someone for papers.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw another picture that had the Nazis or the SS checking papers.
Yeah.
That's the path that we're being led upon.
The Homeland Security is the new SS. It's the new Schutzstaffel.
Yeah.
Schutzstaffel meant the protection police. Homeland Security, the special police, the protection squadron. This is the new SS in America because this ideology did not die. It just transformed itself and went inside the people who had the ability to defeat it, which was the Americans. We were the only people who stood up against the Nazis and put them in their place. Well, Paperclip brought thousands of the Nazis and their ideology over to the United States. Just look it up.
Right, I remember that.
Here's the problem, Bob.
Yeah.
If you went into Nazi Germany in 1938 and you asked all the Nazi citizens of Germany, just regular average working class citizens, are you a moral people? Do you know what morality is? Do you know the difference between right and wrong? Do you have conscience? Do you exercise conscience? Every one of those people would have told you, yes, absolutely I do. How dare you even insinuate that I'm not a person of conscience? How dare you insinuate that in some way I don't know the difference between right and wrong? And yet they supported all of the police state policies, like good little citizens, going along to get along and supported it every step of the way and never spoke out against it. And the same thing is active here. You ask people, do you think you're moral? Do you think you know what a right is? Do you think you know the difference between right and wrong? Do you think you have a conscience truly born in you and in your mind and in your heart? Do you think you exercise your conscience on a daily basis? And everybody will say, they'll all say, oh, yes, absolutely, I do. And you know what? They're liars.
They are.
They don't know the difference between right and wrong. They don't have morality born in their heart. They don't truly in their mind truly know the difference between right and wrong because they don't really know what a right is and what a right is not. And they think these people somehow have some form of a moral right because somebody who thinks they're God, some psychopathic lunatic who thinks they're God, thinks that they can write a law down and in doing so take a natural right away from other human beings. And that can never be done no matter who believes that it can.
Exactly. And you said so many truths and that last statement there, I mean that they're not God and they're playing God but they're taking God out of everything, and that's what people do need, a belief in a higher power. And I'm far from the most religious person out there, Mark, and you know me, but that higher
power sets the boundary conditions for creation. Those boundary conditions are known as natural law.
Yeah,
the laws of nature, the laws of morality, the laws of right and wrong. This is the higher power that is extant in the universe, that exists, and that we are bound by, and that we need to understand how it works. And that natural law is what is being replaced by the laws of men who think that they are God on earth and want to control everybody in every aspect of their lives. And if we don't wake up to that moral law. If we don't wake up that man is not God and does not get to determine what right and wrong is, that those things exist inherently in nature and it is up to us to discover what they are and then live in harmony with those boundary conditions called natural law, okay? If we don't understand that, we're going deeper and deeper and deeper into bondage.
And I can tell you this, our founding fathers are rolling over in their graves with this, what they set out to do as become a sham.
They were trying to teach people about moral law, and at every opportunity they attempted to instill in people, once you lose your morality, you're going to lose your freedom. If you don't understand that these two things go hand in hand, it's an equation. As morality increases, freedom increases. As morality declines, freedom declines. It's an equation. You can define it.
Right.
It's like you could define the laws of gravity. This is a natural law that operates the same way at all times and places. And if we don't wake up to it, again, we're going to lose everything. I talk about this very extensively and in-depth on my website, whatonearthishappening.com. Go and check it out. Start with the podcasts, I recommend. Go back to number one in the podcasts and work your way forward. Your mind will open up. Your consciousness will open up if you can engage the information with an open mind without at first accepting it or rejecting it out of
hand.
You have to give it a chance. You have to listen with an open mind. You have to listen with an open heart. And you'll go a long way if you take in that information. WhatOnEarthIsHappening.com. Go to the podcasts. Start from number one. Work your way forward at your own pace. That's my recommendation.
Perfect. Beautiful, Mark. And I did post up the link to what happened downtown. And the WhatOnEarthIsHappening.com link is there.
Great.
So just go on there. And unfortunately, we're out of time, Mark. And
Bob, thanks so much for inviting me on the show today. Great job you did filling in for the chief.
Yeah, thank you, man. And I'll be in touch with you during the week, and we can discuss this further and discuss about you joining the Watchmen.
Absolutely.
Hint, hint, wink, wink. So.
Absolutely. I'm all for it, my friend.
Hey, thanks, brother. And you be safe out there, and then I'll be talking to you during the week, man.
Great. Bob, thanks. Hey. Have a good night.
You too, Mark.
All right.
Folks, that was Mark Passio from What on Earth is Happening, and he just got shafted by the feds, and it just goes to show what's happening, what is going on within this world. Stay tuned next, because Best Shot's up next on the PRN. We got 7 nights of shows, 2 per night, starting out on Sunday nights with the First Offender, Mohawk and Wags, that's my featured show, followed by the Bunker Hill Report. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 6 to 8, is the Moretti Underground. Friday nights, 6 to 8, is Chief Kessler. Saturday nights, 6 to 8, is the State Coordinator Shows of the Watchmen of America. Monday nights, the Prepper Lady, Florida Prepper Lady, from 8 to 10. Tuesday night, is Uncommon Knowledge with Bobby and Denise. Wednesday night, it's our flagship show of the PRN, which is Watchmen Wednesday. Thursday nights, in the Doghouse. Friday night, it's Best Shot. He's coming up next. And on Saturday night, it's a Zany Zebra hour, or 2 hours of the Zany Zebra show, where we just sit back and we forget about the doom and gloom for a while. Folks, my name is Mohawk. Please join us Sunday night from 6 to 8 on the PRN. And folks, everyone be safe and prep, prep, prep. And I'll leave you with the Watchman's Creed. Be safe, everyone.
The Watchman Creed. And that creed reads as such: as we cross the many bridges put before us, we will strive to help others cross as well. We will reunite all that has been separated throughout the years in the brotherhood of our citizen soldiers. May we all share in the duties and responsibilities of bringing back our sense of security for ourselves and our families and all the people of this nation. We shall respect the rights of others and seek to quell prejudice and extend the hand of fellowship to each other, and may we all stand united
against the oppressions and tyranny confronting us with all the spirit, will, and determination as our forefathers once did when founding our great nation. For we are one of the last remaining symbols of America's freedom, the Watchmen of America.